You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. Hundreds of people turned out on the Oregon coast to protest President Donald Trump and his policies on Saturday. In Astoria, organizers with Indivisible North Coast Oregon estimate that around 1,400 and perhaps as many as 1,800 people assembled along 1 mile of Marine Drive. In Seaside, between 300 and 400 people attended a protest there. Organizers said they saw a lot of waves and honks of support. Similar protests were held in other communities on Oregon's North Coast and in Southwest Washington, joining with the national No Kings protests. The protest landed on Trump's 79th birthday and the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army, a day that Trump celebrated with a massive military parade in Washington, D.C. The No Kings protests followed a wave of demonstrations and protests on the West Coast in general, specifically in Los Angeles, California, where tensions continue to rise amid immigration raids and other ICE activity. Two significant projects in Clatsop County are receiving a boost from Oregon's Historic Preservation Office. Last week, the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association received a $400,000 grant that will support the Copeland Commons. The lower-income housing project would add more than 60 units to downtown Astoria. The project involves renovating the historic State Hotel on Marine Drive, as well as the construction of a new second building. Spruce Up Warrenton also received a $400,000 grant to support Outpost Warrenton. This project includes a coffee shop, a kids' play studio, and other small enterprises on the ground floor of the historic Fenton Grocery Building in Warrenton. Housing units are planned for the second floor. The project is being spearheaded by Jess Salacio, who is also a Warrenton City Commissioner, as well as the co-owner of the Fenton Building. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyhistorian.com.
A ballot measure in the May election that sought to raise Tillamook County's transient lodging tax from 10% to 14% has failed by a margin of only 12 votes after a hand recount. The measure was first advanced by Tillamook County commissioners in response to a budget crunch in the county government. Members of the lodging industry argued that the increase would negatively impact their already tight bottom lines and mounted a campaign against the proposed measure. After initial election results showed a razor-thin margin falling within the threshold for an automatic recount, all 9,000 votes in the contest were recounted, confirming the results from the tabulator. Tillamook County Clerk Christy Neiseth certified the election last week, with the measure failing by a margin of 12 votes. If the measure had passed, discretionary funds from the transient lodging tax revenues would have gone toward the Tillamook County Sheriff's Office, County Emergency Management, and maintenance of a new county emergency radio system. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
At least one person was arrested by federal immigration officials in Yamhill County Thursday, following an enforcement action there. Alejandro Figueroa has more.
Moises Sotelo is the owner of a business that manages vineyards across the Willamette Valley. He was arrested in Newburgh by U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement officers Thursday morning. Federal enforcement officials did not immediately respond to a call asking for details of his arrest. An ICE database does show that he was taken into custody, but as of Friday, it's not clear where he is, if he's still being detained, or if he faces charges. This arrest comes at a time when federal officials are escalating immigration-related arrests. Just earlier this week, ICE carried out raids in farms and packing houses in Southern California. In Oregon, at least four asylum seekers have been arrested outside courtrooms after hearings involving their case. Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
The chair of the King County Council in Washington State is using his position to speak out against President Trump's travel ban. KNKX reporter Freddie Monetis has more.
Council Chair Girmay Zahalai's family immigrated to South Seattle from Sudan when he was 3 years old. Sudan is among 19 countries listed on a travel ban to the U.S. that went into effect on Monday. Zahalai says the ban furthers stereotypes and misconceptions. He spoke while holding his one-year-old daughter, Jazzy, and talked about raising her during a turbulent time.
This is a time of deep insecurity and anxiety for a lot of people. And so I absolutely, you know, when I hold my daughter, I think about what kind of world she's going to be raised in and how long it's going to take to reverse this instability that our president and his administration are creating.
Among the countries included in the ban, only two, Iran and Cuba, are officially sanctioned as state sponsors of terrorism. In Seattle, I'm Freddie Monades.
In East Wenatchee, crisis response professionals held a town hall to help the community cope with the death of the three Decker sisters. The girls' bodies were found near Leavenworth earlier this month. NWPB's Murrow Fellow Renee Diaz has more.
A brown dog named Ruffles Lackey made the rounds at Wednesday's town hall, letting people rub her belly. Ruffles is a crisis response dog and was there to comfort community members coping with the death of the Decker sisters. Julie Boyer works with a nonprofit specializing in trauma care and led the town hall. She said spending time with pets and getting outside can help.
The sense of safety has been rocked, and it feels very different than it felt 2 weeks ago.
Boyer works with first responders, families, and children coping with trauma. She said it is important to tell kids they are safe. Authorities are still searching for Travis Decker, who is wanted in connection with the killing of the three girls. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
President Donald Trump is pulling the U.S. government out of a landmark agreement to recover salmon in the Columbia River Basin. Trump is reneging on more than $1 billion in promised funding for tribes and ending a government-wide initiative to restore abundant salmon runs in the Columbia and Snake Rivers. This signals an end to the federal government's willingness to consider dam removal on the Snake River. The deal Trump's killing was struck with states and tribes in 2023. It halted decades of lawsuits over the harm government dams have done to endangered salmon. The issue of salmon and dams will now return to federal court. Prices in Washington's carbon market have rebounded after a voter initiative to repeal the Climate Commitment Act failed. Communities across the state are seeing the benefits. KNKX reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
Total revenue from last week's auction of allowances for carbon emissions came in at more than $321 million. That's just for one quarter.
Since the program started, we've raised $3.2 billion for state investment in climate. It's pretty amazing.
Altanai Karazapan is a policy manager with the nonprofit Climate Solutions. She says this revenue puts Washington in a much better situation than most states who are more dependent on federal climate funds that have been cut or are at risk. From electric school buses and hybrid ferries to subsidized heat pumps, people all over Washington are reaping the benefits.
We're finally seeing this polluters pay mechanism work and reach our communities in a way that the law promised.
Critics of the system say it's pushing prices up for gas, energy, and other consumer goods. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with highs in the low 60s. Patchy fog tonight, otherwise partly cloudy with lows in the mid 40s. Tomorrow, a slight chance of showers, otherwise partly sunny, with highs in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, showers likely, otherwise increasing clouds with lows in the low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.